All right, before we begin this lesson, let's take time to confess our sins so that we have clear minds and clean hearts so that we can learn the contents of this lesson as we look forward to entering part two. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your grace. We're thankful for the Word of God, which instructs us on ways to get close to you so that we can reflect your light in our lives. We pray now as we enter part two, which deals with sin in our lives, we pray that you will give us understanding so that we can proceed in the power of your Spirit, conquer sin, and walk in the power of your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're ready now for part two. In order to do part one, we want to do a segue from part one. We saw in part one the grace and the greatness of God. We saw that God loves us and that He cares what happens to us. But we disappointed God from the beginning, so He had to make plans for our reinstatement as His children, which He does through salvation based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But we still disappoint Him in our lives as Christians. So thankfully, He has provided a way for our failures to be erased on an ongoing basis, so that we can stand before Him each moment without the stains of sin. And this is basically what we will study in part two. All right, before we actually begin a study of the first chapter in part two, we want to catch our breath for just a moment by looking at where we are in this course. This course consists of a sequence of concepts, and this sequence is structured very deliberately. We have looked at the beginning topic of God. That was part one. And now we will look at a lineup of teachings that are built on this base. So we began with God, and now in part two, we're going to examine the next concept, which is that of sin. And the concept of sin is going to feed into the next part, and that part will feed into the next one, and so on. So that by the time we're through, we're going to have a full understanding of how we are to live the Christian life. All right, so part two then deals with sin and tells us how to deal with it. This is a gate. This part and this topic is a gate to all other concepts. If we don't deal with sin, we cannot benefit from the other grace assets that God makes available. We cannot omit techniques that deal with sin. Part three is going to deal with prayer, which is the next essential step in our spiritual walk. After we go through the process of dealing with sin, the next step is to pray. This is followed by part four, which involves intense and focused study of the Word. Through study and God's training exercises, and that testing and preparation regimen, we build our faith, which is the subject of part five. Part five is about faith. Now, when we do all these things and faith grows, we are enabled to walk in the Spirit. And that's the topic of part six. Walking in the Spirit is the result of applying all the techniques and engaging the assets of parts one through five. So, in a way, walking in the Spirit is the goal. It's like constant living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this shakes down to basically two things, which is going to be constant fellowship with God, and secondly, the strong faith of maturity. So we're going to begin now with part two, where we will see the first technique as we move toward satisfying these two objectives, fellowship and faith. These are the main pillars, as we shall see. All right, part two deals with sin. Chapter three, there are three chapters in this part. Chapter three deals with the problem of sin. Number four deals with the source for dealing with sin. We can't do this by ourselves. So what is the source for dealing with sin? And then chapter five gives us the solution for sin. And that is where we're headed, and that's what we want to know. All right, this is chapter 3, which is the problem of sin. This chapter has six lessons talking about sin as a problem. And if you don't think sin is a problem, then you don't understand, because sin separated us from God. And it is a huge problem, and it is something we have to address. So the six lessons that we'll look at include these. Introduction to sin, which is what we'll look at today. The types of sin, kind of breaking it down into categories. Lists of sins. That's not going to be a very interesting study, but I think if you'll listen to the list and maybe even take some notes on it, you'll better understand the concept of sin. One of the worst sins, or the most prominent, is sexual immorality. So in the fourth lesson, we will see prime examples of sin. Then in the fifth lesson in this chapter, we'll look at idolatry and sin. And in the last lesson, we'll look at allies of sin. Okay, let's introduce sin. Sin is the greatest problem in the universe. It was originated by and is now supported through the most powerful forces in all of existence outside of God Himself. That's how powerful it is. It's the second most powerful force in the universe. Sin has supernatural underpinnings, and that's what gives it its power. It is such a huge issue that the Son of God had to sacrifice His life to overcome it. Sin is not a mere infraction or a misstep or a misdeed. Sin is the most horrible, monstrous, malevolent condition that can ever occur. And guess what? Believers do it all the time. And if you think you don't sin, then you don't know what sin is. We believe in Christ and we are seeking God's power and blessings, but we sin because it is our nature to sin. We have a sinful nature. Most of us have encountered sin and had some kind of qualms of conscience and so forth. But we must understand exactly what sin is in order to know how we're going to deal with it. Most of what we're going to study throughout this course is designed to address this problem, the problem of sin. This is because sin is not what it seems, and we underestimate its destructive capabilities and frequently ignore the resources God offers to enable us to deal with it. In this book, we will bring out techniques for overcoming sin. These are clearly described and delineated in Scripture, even though they are often overlooked by preachers and Bible teachers. I'm going to inject a very brief statement of prayer as we begin to look at this very important topic. God, be gracious to us. We want to know how to deal with this unleashed dragon that stalks and attacks at every turn. We want to stay clean and live right. Show us in these studies how this is done. Okay, when we look away from God, we instantly fall into sins of all sorts. Sins of the eyes, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the heart, and so on. After all, we're only human, and when we are most human, we are least divine. If sin is present in our lives, we cannot access God's divine assets. Sin must be avoided and or removed, and we're going to look at both of these. Sin keeps us away from God's strengthening provisions. Whereas, on the other hand, when we are close to God, we have opportunities to love, to trust, to grow, to understand, to witness, to serve, to rest, and many other things. And we're going to study all of these. But when we sin, problems arise. Self-destruction, harm to others, divine discipline, frustration, fear, unhappiness, isolation from God, relationship difficulties, and so on. With God, there's production. With sin, there's destruction. This is why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Deliver us from evil," but that actually says, "Deliver us from the evil one." We must know more about this force from which we have to be delivered. Fortunately, as we said, evil is well defined in the Bible to help us identify sin and to prepare us to overcome it. Generally, we tend to see sin as something that others do, mistakes in behaviors or attitudes that we observe in them. Our own sins are harder to see. In evaluating ourselves, it is easy for us to focus on our own areas of strength while throwing a shroud over our areas of weakness. We often look away from our sins to avoid culpability for them. As we shall see, this only compounds our problems with sin. The cover-up is as bad as the crime, and we will explain why very soon. Sin is not always what we think, and it is much more pervasive than we have realized. Many things in the mainstream that we have come to accept through custom are not acceptable to God. And many sins go on without our even knowing they are sins. We will distinguish many of these, and we will also review those sins that everyone acknowledges as evil. We must know this: we all sin. 1 John 1:8 and 10 make it clear that we have sin within us and that we do sin. None of us can deny our sinfulness, not even the most mature and saintliest among us. But there is hope for us, and that is what we want to see. Thank God for His grace and that He has provided the way for us to deal with sin. So, please, keep listening. We have some questions now at the end of this lesson. First of all, what is it our nature to be? Number two, sin must be either blank or blank. Number three, name two things that we can do when we are close to God, and two things that are likely to happen when we sin. So two things when we're close to God and two things when we sin. Number four, there is one person's sin that we tend not to look at. Whose is it? And number five, what is the exact percentage of the present human population that sins regularly? All right, we have some scriptures that we want to give to you. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1:10 says, "If we claim we have sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Please remember, Jesus paid the penalty for sin when he died on the cross, and we are saved by believing in him, but we still sin. This is because we keep our sinful nature after salvation. Do not be dismayed, however, because God has created resources for us to counter sin, if we can just find them and use them. Sin is our number one problem and not just a minor irritation. We will ignore this destructive force only at great peril to life and peace. Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us to see the immense importance of sin and how significant and important it is for us to know how to deal with it. Help us as we learn how this is done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.